This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
How do you solve a problem like crypto? Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Leanna Byrne. Finance ministers of the world's largest economies concluded their G20 meeting in India over the weekend. On the agenda, issues like how to deal with the debt of struggling economies and the regulation of crypto assets. India is calling for a collective global effort to deal with problems posed by cryptocurrencies, which has gained support from both the International Monetary Fund and the US. Crypto regulation is a hot topic, even among some of the key players in the industry. The BBC's Will Bain has more.
It's not all that often you hear a crypto exchange say this.
This is a vital year and a kind of an inflection point for crypto regulation.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what Tom Duff Gordon, the Vice President of International Policy at one of crypto's biggest players, told us here at the BBC. In fact, he said Coinbase was worried it was being squeezed by what he termed overcautious banks not allowing the likes of you and me to use their real cash to buy things like Bitcoin and Ethereum on Coinbase's exchange.
Some of them we're seeing putting in place blanket bans against any fiat transfers into crypto. So we call that the on-ramp. So your traditional kind of money and then converting that into a cryptocurrency. And others are putting in restrictions.
After the spectacular collapse of the likes of Sam Bankman-Fried's FTX, many even in the industry see regulation now as not only likely, but they want a part in shaping it.
Our posture is to be reg forward, so to be onshore, to try and have as many licenses as we possibly can to work constructively with regulators and policymakers. Because again, we do think regulating is going to promote trust and huge wide-scale adoption.
And do you think if people don't sign up to that regulation, they should be frozen out of the market?
I think it's important to retain some sense of such that people can access services from wherever. But I think in the main, it's important regulation creates incentives for actors to be onshore and to have the necessary kind of licenses.
But I guess what that regulation could look like can't come soon enough, really.
So we hope parity comes soon. There's always a bit of a lag in terms of the implementation, but you're absolutely right. It can't come soon enough with regard to the direction of travel and the path towards more regulatory certainty.
With government pressure in the UK, Europe and the US, it doesn't seem long until the likes of Coinbase are going to find their fate out. Under BBC's Will Bain for Marketplace.
The President of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, is to meet the UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak near London today. A joint statement said they would work towards finding a solution to the dispute on post-Brexit trading arrangements for Northern Ireland. Katja Adler is in Brussels.
For Rishi Sunak, a deal avoids a looming trade war with Brussels, the UK's biggest trade partner, after the government previously threatened to unilaterally override the original Northern Ireland agreement. Better relations also open up new possibilities, like UK access to the EU's respected Horizon Research Programme, a financial services agreement, and improved arrangements with France to stop people smugglers. Brussels, meanwhile, yearns for a friendlier post-Brexit era with the UK. Russia's invasion of Ukraine has served as a reminder of shared values and priorities.
Katja Adler there. Now, let's do the numbers. Investors seem to like the prospect of this post-Brexit deal, with the FTSE up by 0.7%. Tokyo's Nikkei is down 0.1%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng is down 0.3%. And in big deal news, the Australian firm Recharge Industries had bought the defunct battery maker Britishvolt out of administration. One of the industries that was hit hard by the pandemic was tourism. One of the country's hardest hit was Thailand. Its large population of around 3,000 captive elephants have been used to entertain tourists for decades. But now their owners are struggling to feed them. While tourist numbers have started to recover, many visitors now view using elephants for entertainment as unethical. The BBC's Jonathan Head reports from Thailand.
It's the annual health check in Bantaklang, a village in Thailand's northeast, where for many generations people have lived with elephants. During the two-year COVID shutdown in Thailand, Many of these elephants returned here from the work they'd been doing in tourist resorts. And as a result, says volunteer vet Nutupon Bankow, their health has suffered.
As
more elephants have moved back here, he says, we started to find problems with their digestive systems. It's because of the stress of moving, and also, with their owners so short of money, they're now getting the wrong kinds of food. Wandering around Bantaklang, it's quite normal to come across elephants and their mahouts out for an evening stroll. Most houses have an elephant or two in their front yards. We met Joy, who has four elephants that she brought back 2 years ago from the holiday island of Phuket.
COVID had a huge impact on us. Previously, I worked doing elephant treks for the tourists. But when COVID happened, everything came to a standstill. Everything got worse. So now we have to save money all the time to buy food for the elephants.
Even as tourism starts to recover, there are other questions hanging over the future of this kind of elephant business. Up in the north of Thailand, near Chiang Mai, Lek Chai Lert washes three of the 122 elephants she now has in her camp. Lek is a pioneer of a different kind of elephant tourism, where there are no rides, no performances, and no chaining the animals up. They're free to roam, and visitors just look at them. It wasn't easy at first.
Everyone want to go to touch, want to go and hug elephant, and they want to have hand-on elephant. But for us, we make decision already, and we lost 50% of the booking.
Now, though, her elephant nature park has become popular with the growing number of tourists who want a more ethical experience. The Thai government has yet to come up with a long-term strategy for its large population of captive elephants, one which meets the demand for higher ethical standards while still ensuring the livelihoods of the thousands of people who depend on these magnificent animals.
BBC's Jonathan Head there. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. And if you like, you can email us at marketplace@bbc.co.uk. I promise, we'll read it. I'm Leanna Byrne. Thanks for listening.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.